Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Yudam Arav, Yisrael Haba Machmas Oiv Kechavim. A Yisrael who is holding on to a piece of property that was once owned by another Jew, but he says that he purchased this property from a Nachri. He claims that the Nachri was on that property for 3 years. The Nachri had bought that property from a Yisrael. And after the Nachri being on the property for 3 years, he bought that property and was on the property for 3 years. And now the original owner comes and makes a claim on the property. So says the Gemara, this person who's on the property, who purchased it from the property, who purchased it from the Nachri, Harei Kechavim, the Halacha treats him like an Oiv Kechavim. Ma Oiv Kechavim, just like when we speak about Oiv Kechavim, Ein Loi Chazaka, the Halachas that we've been discussing of Chazaka throughout our Perek, from the beginning of the Perek, do not apply to a Nachri. The only way a Nachri could prove ownership of a property is El Bishtar, by having a document. The reason being, explained the Rishonim, the Rashbam, is because we've been explaining that what is the explanation of a chazaka. The explanation of a chazaka is that I'm on the property for 3 years, and after 3 years, I don't hold on to the shtar anymore. But by Nachri, the concern is that Stam Nachrim Gazlonim Haim, the Nachrim are thieves, and the Yisrael, who is the true owner of this property, is not Meicher, because he's concerned, they're scared of the Nachrim. So the fact that the owner wasn't Meicher doesn't mean that he doesn't believe the property is his. It's just something that he was scared to do. Another reason that the Rishonim explain, Rabbeinu Baruch explains, that why is it not considered Chazaka by and Nachri, as we go back to the beginning of the Perek. At the beginning of the Perek, we learned that a chazaka is only considered a valid chazaka when there's a taina accompanying the chazaka. But if there is no taina accompanying the chazaka, then a chazaka is not considered a valid chazaka. Says Rabbeinu Baruch, the ability to say a taina, that the taina should be accepted, is something that only Yisraelim have, not Nachrim. However, point out the Rashba, and the Ran says in the name of the Ravid, that even though we're learning that a Nachri doesn't have a Chazaka, the Halacha, however, is they claim that after 40 years that a Nachri is in a property, and nobody said anything, he would achieve a chazaka. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say there is no difference 3 years or 40 years. If there's a dita de machus dina, that if you're on a property 40 years and no one said anything to you, so then you have a chazaka, so then you'll have a chazaka because of the dita de machus dina. But if we want to apply the halachas that we're learning in our Masechta of Chazaka, we can't apply that by saying, well, the regular 3-year rule doesn't apply, but there's a new 40-year rule that would apply. Says the Gemara, the person who's coming and saying that he's on this property because of the Nachri, that won't be a way to have a Chazaka. Mava Kechavim, because just like Oiv Kechavim Ein Lo Chazaka El Bishtar, Af Yisrael Haba Ma'achmas Oiv Kechavim, Yisrael's entire possession, his property, is because he said he bought it from a Nachri, Ein Lo Chazaka El Bishtar. And particularly, if we follow what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we quoted from the Ktzais, but it's really Rishonim who say it, that this entire concept of Chazaka is based on a Takonas Chazal that made that chazok, that they instituted the chazaka should work. They only instituted it by Yisraelim, not by Nachri. Another pshat that Rishonim suggest is that a chazaka has to have a taina to be considered a valid chazakah. The taina that I bought it from the Nachri, because the true owner could say, I was scared to say anything, is not considered a valid taina, and therefore it's considered a chazakah that she'ena my taina. Of course, point out the Rishonim, that this entire Gemara that we just discussed is only in a situation where this person, who was the original owner, could prove that this property was his. What's happening here now is that I'm on the property that I purchased from the Nachri, and I say that the guy, the Nachri, bought it from him. But if the person doesn't have proof that it was his property, then I could have had a migui and I could have other claims, and therefore the halacha is that I would be able to prevail with this chazaka. So why, when I bought it from a Nachri, don't I have a chazaka? Because since a Nachri doesn't have a chazaka, so even though throughout our perek we're learning that a person doesn't have to hold on to a shtar, people do not typically hold on to a shtar that for more than 3 years, that's the basis of a chazaka. I am supposed to recognize that when I bought a property from a Nachri, then the halacha is that I have to hold on to the shtar. But now there's an interesting discussion. What's the halacha if I bought the property from the Nachri? I don't know who the Nachri bought it from. I know that I bought the property from the Nachri, and I did not know that the Nachri bought the property from a Yisrael. So the Rashbam distinguishes and says that if I knew that the Nachri bought the property from Yisrael, that's when the Gemara tells us that I now have to hold on to the shtar indefinitely. But if I don't know that, and I bought a property from a Nachri, I don't have to be thinking, well, maybe the Nachri bought it from Yisrael, and the Halachas Chazaka won't apply. The Prisha disagrees. And the Prisha says, and the basis of the Prisha, is the Prisha says, Tam Nachrim Gazlonimim. When I buy a property from a Nachri, I need to be thinking that this is a stolen piece of property, because that's the way Nachrim are. And since that's the way Nachrim are, it becomes my obligation to protect, to watch the documents that I have, even in a case where normally I would not have to hold on to it, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if I know that it was once belonged to a Yisrael or not. And the Marit says even more than that. I should have, part of what I have to do is when I buy a property from a Nachri, I'm not supposed to just assume that if he's selling me the property, it belongs to him. Rather, it is my obligation to do research how did the Nachri get this property? And as we're learning, if I discover that this Nachri bought it from Yisrael, that should be for me a demand that I should have to hold on to the shtar. Amar Rava, however, says Rava, Yama Yisrael di Amar Levd Gachavim the Minach Zavni, the Nachri told me that he bought it from you, then Mehemin, he's believed. That, and again, if he'll have a chazaka, then he'll be able to win. And why? Because he has a migui. He could have said that he bought it directly from the original owner. And if he would have said that, and given that he has a chazaka, that he's on the property, so then he's going to be believed. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Mika midi. How could it be? Dilo amar avi kachavim. Had the avi kachavim himself said, that he would have said it himself, the Yisrael challenges the Nachri. So as we discussed extensively at the beginning of this year, the Nachri is not a person who's mehemen. The Nachri is not a person who the halacha considers has a taina. The Yisrael is the extension of the Nachri. So why am Amar Yisrael Meshmei the Nachri of the Kachavim? If the Yisrael said it in the Nachri's name, why would we be able to believe him? He shouldn't be any stronger than the person he's coming from. Elamarava, Yom Yisrael, Kami the D Zamna of the Kham Minach. I was there when the Nach repurchased this property from you. And then after he purchased it from you, Zavna Nali, he sold it to me, then Nemon. Migdabaylele, in such a situation that I could have said, Anozimti Minach, I bought it directly from you. And I'm on this property for 3 years, so I have a chazaka. So therefore, now I'm not relying on the Nachri. I'm relying on myself. And that's why he's going to be believed. There's a machlokes tzais and the sivis. How to understand mina monis? Is it that this is considered a situation of a chazaka sheyeshi maitaina? Because I myself say that I know that you sold the property to the Nachri? Or is this considered a situation that I'm believed because of a migui? Amar Rav Yehuda, high man, the Nokat Magal of a Tuvya, a person that's carrying different tools, Vomar, and he says, Ezel Igzra Ladikla, the planning, the Zabta Minei. I'm going to cut the tree or work on the tree that I bought from this individual. The Gemara doesn't mean that I'm going to cut the tree down. People, what he's saying is, I'm going to work on the tree. The halacha is, Mehemon, we don't have a right to stop him. Why? Because says the Gemara, L'chotzef inish, l'migza dikla delav delay. Nobody has the chutzpah to touch somebody else's tree. So for me to go and take somebody, to work on somebody's tree, without, I certainly will not do that without permission. Of course, says the Rashbam, if somebody puts up a complaint, then if he was moicha before I did it, I would have to address it, and I can't just say, I'm going to cut. But, and moreover, says the Rashbam, once such a protest is issued, until the issue is resolved, I can't take anything from the tree. And we can't just rely on the fact that it's a chazaka that nobody's going to touch something which is not his. Rav Yehuda, hay man da achzik, if somebody is holding on to a property, miguda da arde levar, from the place of guda of adam outside, lo have a chazaka. It's not considered a chazaka. Says the Gemara, my tama, because the owner says, kol da zar name uda achlelei. You know, I'm plowing the field, and does the plowing itself, as we're going to discuss, the Gemara is going to discuss, is that considered a chazaka? And here, since this is a place that nobody really uses, it's a place where animals dwell, that's not a place, the owner says, you could work there, it doesn't really make a difference. If somebody was eating orla, and that's the way he wants to establish a chazaka, the loch is ain't a chazaka. Because the owner doesn't care if I eat the orla fruit. Because the orla owner says, I can't eat it anyway. It's orla fruit, I can't eat it. Tanya namihachi, it says the Gemara ochle orla. If the person is trying to establish a chazaka by having eaten orla or shvius, or eating shvius fruit, klayim produce, and all these cases, ain't a chazok, it's not considered a chazok. And the reason, in this situation, explains the Rashbam, is somewhat different. Orla and klayim are not considered a way to establish a chazok, because they are foods that I'm not allowed to eat. So that's why the owner doesn't say anything when I eat something which is not allowed to be eaten. Shvius is Dana Chazaka is not because Shvius produce may not be eaten. Shvius produce may be eaten, but they're hefker. So eating produce that Shvius produce doesn't mean that I ate something that belonged to you. Because since it's Shemitah year, everything in the Shemitah year is hefker. And once it's hefker, the halacha is that it's not yours that I'm eating. The flaw points out, why did the Tana have to mention Orl, Shvius, and Klayim, each one, because as we just explained, Shvius is because it's Hefker. Orl and Klayim are not because they're Hefker, it's just because they may not be eaten. Orl, however, is a little different than Klayim. Orl may not be eaten by anybody. Klayim is something that you're not allowed to plant, and the person who planted it is not allowed to eat it. But other people may eat Klayim if they weren't the ones that planted the fruit tree. And therefore, since each one is somewhat unique, the Brisa had to mention each one of them separately. That's why the Brisa had to mention each one separately, because each one comes with its own unique situation. There's a very interesting question that the Behetiv in Hilchas Purim, Or Chaim Simen Tofrei Sadekei Sivkot Zayin, brings up. And that is, somebody sent somebody on Purim Shalach Manas, sent him a chicken, and then it turns out that the chicken is treif. But the person who sent it and the person who received it didn't know that it was treif. The person who received it ate the chicken, and after Purim, he decides out that it was not kosher. The question is, was the person who sent this chicken mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manas? Because he sent something that may not be eaten. Of course, if you send food that may not be eaten, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Shalach Manas. And obviously the question the Behetiv is discussing is when it's still Purim. And I could correct it by sending another Shalach Manas now. So the same question is discussed by Achronim, where somebody was Makadish and Isha. He married a woman by giving her a chicken, and then she ate the chicken. And the question is, after she ate the chicken, they discovered the chicken was not kosher. If the chicken is not kosher, she would have never wanted the chicken, it may not have any value. The question is that considered a valid Kedushin or not? So they quote a Gemara Masechta Bechoris that says, if somebody shechted a Bechor is supposed to be given as a carbon in the time of the Beis HaMikdash is standing. They shechted it and ate it. And then they discovered that they should not have done it. The halacha is that they only have to give back the money to the Kohen as a knas. So we see that since what you did was okay, when you did it, you didn't know you were doing anything wrong. Not only is it not considered you didn't eat something not kosher, there are no consequences that we have to consider. So the Birkei Yosef says that this question is connected to our Gemara, where the Gemara discusses eating Orl, Shvius, and Klayim. Is that considered a chazaka? The Rambam explains the Gemara that even if you ate the fruits itself, the halacha is that it's considered a chazaka. The halacha is that if you ate the fruit, that's considered a chazaka. Only if you work on the property, it's not considered a chazaka. The Ravid says that it's not considered a chazaka. It's not considered that you ate fruit. The halacha is that this woman, the Paiskim say, is Safek Mekudeshes, and on Purim, the best thing to do would be to give another set of Shalach Manas. Amar Rav Yosef, if somebody ate ochlo shachas, and the trees that he ate the fruit, the vegetables, before they really ripened. So he really basically ate unripened grass. Lo yav a chazaka. Because in order for a chazaka to be considered a chazaka, is that if you ate it in the way people normally ate it. And the Rashbam explains, because since he didn't eat it in the way people eat, the owner could say, it was deliberate that he ate it that way, because what he was trying to do was not let me see it. And therefore, I shouldn't be meich, because I shouldn't be considering it as if he ate it. Amarova, however, if he did this, b'tzavra mechoza kaima, have a chazaka. Because in that place, they were very wealthy, explains the Rashbam, and they needed to feed the animals a lot of food. Shachas is what they fed the animal. So that becomes a normal thing to be eaten, and it's a way to establish a chazaka. Om Rav Nachman, taftichta, if you have a piece of property which is very inferior, and a person worked on the property, lo yav a chazaka, because the owner didn't say anything, because he said to himself that this is the type of a property that nobody is going to, is nobody interested in it anyway. And since nobody's interested, that's why it's not considered a valid chazaka. The Ritva says a different pshat. He prepared the property for planting. So he says the reason the owner wasn't Maicha, because the owner says, let him do all the work of preparation, and then I'll make my claim, and that's why it's not a chazaka. Apikura, vayakura. If the person put in a kur of sand, a seed, and he only was able to get out of kur, lo yav a chazaka. If I didn't have any profit from this property, then the halach is that it's not a way of having chazaka. But Ritva makes a very important point. He says, when is it not a chazaka? It's not a chazaka if it's a type of property that has the ability to produce more. And I didn't work on the property in a way that it should produce more. So therefore, it's not the normal way of working on this property. But if this is the type of property that nobody really could get, the owner couldn't have done better with this property than I did with the property, then it would be a way of having chazaka. Says the Gemara, v'hani d'bei resh gelusa, lo machzikabon. In Bavel, there was a position of authority. The position of authority, which was sanctioned by the government, was the position of resh gelusa. And the resh gelusa, nobody can have a chazaka in the resh gelusa, because the resh gelusa was a very powerful person. And if the person, what do we keep on saying when we speak about a chazaka? We say, when we speak about a chazaka, that after 3 years, there's no reason for me to hold on to my shtar. But that's only when the person who was the original owner was not a very strong person. But when I know that the original owner is a resh gelusa, I know that I have to hold on to the shtar. And I have no excuse for not holding on to the shtar. There is a machloikus rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. The Ritva says, the Gemara doesn't mean only a resh gelusa. The Gemara means anybody who's a powerful person. I have to recognize that if I'm going to have a dintara with him, the only way I could win is with having the shtar, and therefore I have no excuse for not having the shtar. The Torah quotes the Rosh, that when the Gemara here uses the word resh gelusa, it means specifically the resh gelusa. Because since the resh gelusa were descendants of Malchus Beis David, they are people who I have to recognize that I have to be concerned about. Other people, even if they're strong people, that doesn't mean that my chazaka will not work against them. So again, says the Gemara, like Mechsikinba, and on the other hand, they can't make a chazaka in ours, because the fact that they're on my property, they don't feel any problem being on the property, because they're not scared of anybody, like Mechsikinba, like Mechsikinba, who it goes both ways. We learned in the Mishnah, Avodim, when we speak about slaves, the way you establish a chazaka on avadim is 3 years, shalosh shanim miyoyim liyoyim. Ask the Gemara, that means you have to have 3 years. But ask the Gemara, how can we establish a chazaka on avadim? Avadim yesh le chazaka? Can a chazaka be established on avadim? Vam resh lakish, hagoydris. Animals that wander on their own, elam chazaka. There is no chazaka on animals that wander on their own. Because the person could always say that I didn't sell you the animal. The animal on its own wandered into your property and you took it. And since avodim have the same concept that they could go wherever they want, you can't establish chazaka. And says the Gemara, so how anything that could wander on its own, there is no chazaka. So how could the Gemara say? How could the Mishnah have said there's a chazaka on avodim? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, ein lem chazaka l'alta. You can't establish a chazaka immediately, even though by matatlin we know that you could establish chazaka immediately, as we said, kol ma shetachas yodoy, anything that's mine is considered a chazaka. Here, avodim, you can't have that type of chazaka. Av yesh lem chazaka l'achashal shonim, after 3 years, the fact that the owner didn't say anything for 3 years, that's the proof that you don't have a chazaka. So the question now is, when Rish Lakish says, Hagoydris elam chazaka, we spoke about Goydris not having chazaka. What does that mean? That they never have a chazaka, or they have a chazaka, but just like the Gemara said, that Avodim have a chazaka after 3 years, so through two sheep will have a chazaka after 3 years. The Rashbam says that the Gemara, what Rava spoke now about, is both by Avodim and both by Balachayim. By both of them, there is no chazaka since they wander. They don't have a chazaka immediately, but after 3 years, there will be chazaka. However, the Rashba's opinion is by Avodim, is there's no chazaka until 3 years. By Goydris, you don't have to wait. You don't have a chazaka immediately, but you have to wait a year or two. But you won't have to wait 3 years. The Yad Ruma's opinion is that Avodim, as Rava just said, have a chazaka after 3 years. Goydris never have a chazaka. Amar Rava, however, if the Eved that we're speaking about is Katan Mutl Barisa, a young child, they have a chazaka l'alta, they have a chazaka immediately, because, explains the Rashbam, A, they can't move anywhere on themselves, by themselves, and B, nobody usually lends an Eved, certainly for that, lends an Eved, and therefore they're treated like all matatlan. Says the Gemara Peshitta, isn't that obvious? What Eved, cotton, a baby in a crib that can't walk, is not an Eved that can wander. And says the Gemara, L'tzrich d'islay ima. He has a mother. And Madatayma, maybe we should be concerned that the baby obviously didn't go anywhere on its own. But maybe name it Dilma Ima El Solahasam. Maybe we should be concerned that it is the mother that carried this baby there. Teaches us the Gemara that that's not a concern. Why? Kamash Malon, Ima Lemnashi Bara. A mother doesn't forget her child and leaves the child for such a long amount of time. So according to this, there will be a chazaka, but it will have to be, says the Ritva, a couple of days. Because the mother is not going to leave a child indefinitely somewhere else. But even though she won't leave the child indefinitely somewhere else, for a couple of days she may leave. And that's why you're going to have a couple of days to establish a chazaka. Hani Izi, says the Gemara, there were these goats, Dukhla Chushla Ben Hadar, that walked into somebody else's property and ate barley. Asamar Chushla, the owner of the barley, came, V'tefsinu, and seized these animals, and there were no Edim that could testify how much barley they ate. V'vakatan Tuva, and he said that they ate a lot of barley, even more than the animals themselves were worth. How much of a claim can he make? As much as the value of these goats. Dibay Amar, why is he believed? He could have said, L'kuchas heim biyodei. He could have said that I own these goats. Now he's saying that I don't own the goats, but the goat did eat my food, and since they eat my food, that's why the halach is his belief. As says the Gemara, what is his basis for his claim? Is the smigui. But says the Gemara that he could have said I owned it, but he couldn't have said he owned it because they're in his property, even though they're metaltlin, Because as the Gemara, haven't we just learned? You can't establish a chazaka on animals that wander around, the animals. Says the Gemara, Shani Izim the Mesira L'Roira. Regular animals aren't given over to shepherds. So my holding them is not a chazaka. But when we speak about Izim, the halacha is that Izim are always given to shepherd. Nobody leaves the Izim to walk around by themselves. And since nobody leaves them to walk around by themselves, the fact that they're in somebody's property is indeed an indication that it belongs to that person. But ask the Gemara, isn't there a time, v'ikut safra v'panya, the morning and the evening, that the Izim, the goats, are left alone? Says the Gemara, ben Hadra Tayashrichi, in Adar there were many thieves, they never left the geese unattended. There's a beautiful vart that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he leaves over Klai Yisrael and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should appoint a leader for Klai Yisrael, that he asks that Klai Yisrael should not be left ketzoin asha'ein lahem roya. And the question is, why are Klal Yisrael specifically compared? What does Moshe Rabbeinu in that pasuk specifically compare Klal Yisrael to a tzoyim? So I saw the Sefer Me'er in Yisrael explains that our Gemara just said that tzoyim, geese, the goats are in the category of tzoyim, are never left alone. They're, because we're concerned that somebody may damage them, may steal them, they're always left in the hands of a shepherd. They're never left alone. When Moshe Rabbeinu was being mispalled to Klal Yisrael, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only should you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appoint for them a leader, but they should not be like Tzoyin She'en Lam Roya. Let them be treated like Tzoyin. That just like Tzoyin, always have somebody tending to them. Klal Yisrael should always have leaders that are paying attention to them. That's pshat in the pasuk when the pasuk says "Am Marisoi the Tzoyin Yodoi," that we are the Tzoyin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always watching us. So our Gemara has been making a differentiation between different types of items. If you could have a Tzoyin, if you could have a Chazaka or not. And the Gemara has been saying that Goydris, that you don't have a chazaka. And the reason is, that two reasons. One reason is because, the Rashbam explains, because they're constantly on the move. And the other reason is because you don't leave tzoyim in your home. So the reason we always have a chazaka on the tatlin is kol mashenim tzatachas yodai. Anything that I'm holding on to, harei ushaloi, is considered mine. But this is not the kind of thing that I'm always, it's not the kind of thing that I'm always holding on to, and therefore I can't establish chazaka. So now the question is, two people were arguing over a car. Who is the owner of a car? And there's and the question is, can a chazaka be established on a car? If we say that the question is, how to understand the Rashbam? Does the Rashbam say that in order for something to be considered an item that there's no chazaka, both conditions have to be met? That it has to be something that moves on its own, and also it has to be something that moves on its own, and it also has to be something that's not in my property. So a car is not kept in your home, but obviously cannot move on its own. Or is just one of those conditions enough to make it that it's something that's not subject to Hilchos Chazaka? So Machloikas HaPoskim, some Poskim say that a car, because it's not kept actually in your home, is not something on which you could establish a Chazaka. And others say that the fact that you're driving the car that somebody else believes is his, and you're driving it for such an amount of time, and the person who says that he's the owner never said anything to you, that's the way you could establish chazaka. Rav Shmuel Omer, Rav Shmuel in our Mishnah taught us Shlosh Chadashim. He says you don't have to have 3 years; you have to have 40 months. I'm saying 18 months, 3 months at the beginning, then 12 months, and then another 3 months in the last year. Kiva says 1 month, 12 months, and 1 month. Says the Gemara Lema, what is the machloikus between Rabbi Kiva and Mishmol, where on that property, you know, how much time you have to have a chazaka? Says the Gemara Lema Niri Kabinayu. The Gemara says that the machloikus is over plowing. The Mishmol Vasavar, Mishmol's opinion will be that near, just by plowing on something, it's not the way to establish a chazaka. Lo yav a chazaka. Rekiva sava, Rekiva ho, and therefore 1 month of plowing is not going to achieve a chazaka. Rekiva holds that it is a chazaka. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, says the Gemara, if according to Rekiva, plowing is the way to establish a chazaka, if according to Rekiva, plowing is a way to establish chazaka, so then the question is, Mayir Chodesh, why do you need a month? Plowing only takes 1 day. Yom Echanami. Says the Gemara, you're right. The Kul Alma, everybody's going to agree that near lo have a chazaka. A chazaka is not established by just plowing. V'ocha, the machloikas of Rishmol and Rikiva is peyre rabba or peyre zuta ikabinayu. Rishmol holds that it's not considered chazaka only after the fruit grew for 3 months. When you have a significant fruit, and when you eat that type of a fruit, and you did it for 3 times, you have a chazaka. Kiva says, even if the fruit has not really developed, it's only a small fruit, but if I eat such fruit, and the owner didn't say anything, I will be able to establish a chazaka. So it says, the Tana Rabbanan, near ain't a chazaka. Near is not a way to establish chazaka. Plowing is not a way to establish chazaka. V'yesharim, some told that a reza chazaka is a way to establish chazaka. Ask the Gemara man yesharim. Who is the man yesharim that holds it to chazaka? Rav Chisda Rav Achihi. It's the opinion of Rav Acha. Where do we see Rav Acha's opinion? Says the Gemara, the Tanya Noro. If somebody plowed a field and Zora for 1 year and Zora Shtayim, and then planted it for 2 years, or nourished time, or plowed it for 2 years, for Zora Shana, and then he planted it, nourished time, for Zora Shana, in all these cases, it's not a chazaka, because plowing is not a chazaka. Rav Acha Amar, Harezu Chazaka. Amar, Rav Acha, Sheilas Kol Gedoy Le'ador. So he says, I asked all the Gedoy Le'ador, what is the halacha? Is plowing a way to achieve a chazaka, or is plowing not a way to achieve a chazaka? Vomerly, and they all told me, he says, that hareza chazaka, it's considered a chazaka. The Rishonim point out that even according to the opinion that you can plow for 2 years and you plant for 1 year, it's a chazaka, it's not that you plowed for 2 consecutive years, and then after plowing for 2 consecutive years, you planted for 1 year. That would not be a chazaka. What Rav Acha means that you plowed for 1 year, planted for 1 year, and then plowed for another year. That's the way you can establish chazaka. Otherwise, not. Amalei Rabbi Bibel Rav Nachman, my time demand on my rei chazaka. What's the pshat in the mandam that says a chazaka? So it says, Ashati will go there, Vamali near Hareza Chazok. Omele Rebbe Rav Nachman, my time demand on near Abba Chazoka. How do we understand a person, the opinion that plowing established Chazoka? Says, the Gemara, Loi Ovid Inish, the Krivalei La'ari, because nobody is going to allow me to plow his field and say nothing. On my time, Loi Abba Chazoka. Why is it not a Chazoka? Says, the Gemara, Meim Omer, because the person who owns the field says, "May mama call Shiva v'Shiva the carvo, every drop of plowing that he does, Lailba says he's doing me a favor. Let him plow, and after he plows, I'll come and reap the benefit of putting in seeds and getting the fruit and the vegetables." And the Rashba says, based on this Gemara, what we learn from here is that if I, the owner of the field, am actually benefiting from what you're doing, then the halacha is, then that is not a way that you could establish a chazak of, against me. Shalchle b'nei b'nei umher l'ram nachem b'rav chizda. Lamdeinu rabbeinu. Nira have a chazaka or lay have a chazaka. So he wanted to know, is this a way to establish chazaka or not? Amalei Rav Achva called Gedolei Abar Amri, that Rav Achan, all the Gedolei Dar said, that you could establish chazaka through powering. Amram Nachma Yitzchak, Ravus Lamechshev Gavri, is that the way we establish a halacha? Ravus Lamechshev Gavri, Harav Shmuel, Rav Shmuel Babavel, Rishmover Bekiva Betzisra, Amri Loyav Chazaka. If you want to establish something, if you want me to bring names, I could bring you plenty of names who hold differently. So the question is that why isn't it a way to approach a shayla by seeing how many hold one way and how many hold the other way? And I saw that the Sefer Daf al Daf quotes a Sefer called Zrichas Hashoni. He says that when is there halacha that we follow the majority? That's only when all of the people who are discussing a certain halacha are all sitting together and they're all discussing the halacha together. That's where there's halacha, achi rabim lahatas. That's the way a Beis Din operates. We have a number of dayanim in the Beis Din and we have them all talking to each other, and then we're going to make a decision. However, in a situation, and he says more than that. He says the entire principle of a Beis Din is that all the members of a Beis Din are equal. Everybody has an equal vote. That's the way a Beis Din is established. And since that's the way a Beis Din is established, we're all equal, and we're all sitting together, and we all have equal opinion. When we speak about a question that's discussed in the Gemara or in any other forum where we have a halacha question and we're not sitting together and it's not a Beis Din, the halacha is not decided by a vote. The halacha is decided by what is the proper psek. And since the halacha is decided by what is the proper psak, it doesn't make it. Then the Gemara is saying, Gerusa, is it a big deal to count numbers? And now the Gemara says, well, we quoted opinions. Rav Shmuel and Rav Akiva, how do we know Rav Shmuel and Rav Akiva don't hold that plowing is a chazaka? Because the Gemara earlier already explained, Masnis and he, that our Mishnah showed us that. Rav Mahi, where do we see that that's Rav's opinion? Dom Rav Yehuda Rav, our Mishnah that says you don't have to have full 3 years is Divrei Rav Shmuel Rav Akiva. Avacham Aymrim by Steya Baal. You don't have to have 3 years. Avacham Aymrim Chaskos Shlal Shonim Yom L'Yom. You have to have 3 years. Ask the Gemara what was meant when the Mishnah said Yom L'Muti Mai Lav L'Muti Nir Deloy. The Mishnah was come to say that plowing is not the way to establish a chazaka. Shmuel Maihi. Where do we see that Shmuel holds that Nir is not a chazaka? Damar Yudam Shmuel Zu. Our Mishnah that says that by Steya Baal you don't have to have 3 years is Divrei Rav Shmuel Rav Akiva. Avacham Aymrim Ad Sheyigdar Shalosh Gederis. You have to take off dates for three years. For Yiftzah Shalosh Betziris, and you have to cut 3 crops of grapes. For Yimsuk Shalosh Mesikos, and take off 3 crops of olives. Says the Gemara. So that's exactly what the Chachamim say. My Benayu, what is the difference between the Chachamim and Shmuel? It's between Machlokes Rav and Shmuel and the opinion of the Chachamim. A Mabaya, Deklanara, Ikabenayu. A Deklanara is something that, this is the way the Rajbam learns, is something that that gives produce very, very quickly. So according to that, by that, that's going to be the Machlokes. The Rav is going to hold that you have to have 3 years. Here, Shmuel's going to hold that if you have 3 crops, even though it didn't take 3 years, the halacha is that you're going to have to, Shmuel says you will establish a chazaka. So, Pasha Pshat, what is Pshat of Shmuel? That we learned throughout the Masechta, that what establishes a chazaka is 3 years, because after 3 years, I'm not expected to hold on to the shtar. Shmuel doesn't hold, you have to have 3 years. Three, it's not a function of time, it's a function of craps. The Rashba disagrees, and he says that Shmuel agrees with Rava's understanding of chazaka. And but rather, what Shmuel means to say is that it depends on, what does it depend on? At what point will the fact that you, who were the original owner, didn't say anything, is a proof that I don't have to be so careful with my shtar. So Rav says, 3 years. Shmuel says, once I took three craps from this property and you didn't say anything, that is the equivalent of 3 years. Because if you really felt that this property belongs to you, you should have said this before. The Pasuk says, Nir lechem nir, v'altizra elakaitzim. First plow and don't plant without plowing, because you're going to plant without plowing. You're only planting in a place where there are thorns, and it's not going to be a place where you can really accomplish anything. And that's the basis, explained the Svarma Gedoshim, what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Sur meira v'asei toiv. First you have to eliminate the ra, and then v'asei toiv, you could do what's right. However, the Svarim discuss, if a person is going to have to wait for Somira to eliminate what's wrong, he may never come to a time that he could do Asay Toiv. It'll just take forever to get to the Asay Toiv. So how do we accomplish that even without having done full tshuva, we could already start doing mitzvahs? The answer is that if at the moment we're doing a mitzvah, we also think, says the Ahavas Yisrael, that we want to do what's right. So then the Nir Lechem Nir, the mitzvah, brings with it the tshuva. And since the mitzvah brings with it the tshuva, I could right away jump to do the mitzvah. But then, I saw that the Mefarshim explained, there is one time of the year there's an exception to this rule. And that's Pesach, by the Seder. What do we say by the Seder? Kadesh Urchatz. Normally, we should first have to do urchatz. We should have to wash ourselves, purify ourselves, and then only afterwards, kadesh, we could do kedusha. But in Pesach, where Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the special madrega, that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the Memtesh Shari Tuma, included in what means that Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the Memtesh Shari Tuma, is that we could skip the tshuva part. And we could right away jump into doing the mitzvah. Kadesh, do the mitzvah immediately, and then only afterwards urchatz. And maybe the pshat is, because if we will do kadesh, and we'll do the kadesh properly, that will give us the ability to be able to do the urchatz, to be able to do tshuva properly as well.